Well, you know, like I said, it is wonderful to be back with you today in this season of Easter, and I do want to take just a moment or two to thank my brother, Jim Lawler, for filling in for me last week. And most especially, Jim, I want to thank you for your words and especially for your vulnerability. Vulnerability. You know, it's not an easy thing to share our pain or our scars, to share our testimony where we have seen God at work in the world around us. And it's not easy to do that under normal conversational circumstances, but it's especially not easy to get up here and do it in front of a whole church. And so I want to thank you for that. Thank you for being willing to share your heart. Thank you for allowing us to see and hear a little bit of where you've been and who you are. Thank you so much. I want to say that, you know, it is quite a thing. We are in this season of sharing, a season of testimony, you might say. And we need, as a church, to hear stories. Did you know that? The church needs to hear stories. We need to hear each other's stories. We need to hear Easter stories, testimonies, your and my experiences of where Christ has shown up in everyday experiences. You know, in many ways, that is what the Easter season is really all about. Not just celebrating that Christ is risen for an extended period of time, but being on the lookout for where he still reveals himself. All through the season of Easter, we read passages from the New Testament, especially from the Gospels and from the Acts of the Apostles, that tell us stories and testimonies about where the risen one has appeared and how his appearing to the apostles changed them, prepared them for their callings, filled their hearts with joy and with expectation and confidence for the work that lay ahead. The book of Acts says that after Easter morning, the risen Christ made appearances for 40 days before he ascended. And all through that time, the apostles had this time set aside, in a manner of speaking, a time set aside to process what it was that they had seen, what their hearts were telling them, to process who they were and what testimony to the risen one's continuing life they themselves had to share. I call it incubation time. Time to process. Time to churn and to feel and to let their experience take shape and be born in them as witness. As witness. I want to take this season, this 40-day incubation time, and do just that very thing. This new sermon series that I'm embarking on today, I'm calling The Places Where We've Seen Him. I want to talk with you through Easter in a way that allows us all to hover over those times in our lives where we've seen him, where we've felt his living presence, where we've held his hand and heard his instructions for life and his calling on our hearts, where we've had the experience of his healing touch. I want to churn with you and with these Easter stories and with these apostles in the making on that. Where have we seen him? Where has the risen one made an appearance in your life? What does it mean? What is the testimony that you and only you have been given to tell? I say apostles in the making because that's what I'm led to believe Jesus's disciples really are during this 40-day period. They're disciples who've spent time learning from him. Now they've had an experience of the risen Christ at Easter, but they don't really become apostles just yet. They don't really become sent ones just yet until they know the unique witness that they have to share and know where they're going to take it. Perhaps this whole Easter season, on some level, is about giving us all the time that's needed, that incubation time, to go from being disciples who are opening to hearing and taking in and learning to being apostles who are able to carry a message outward and forward. Incubation time is a concept that I want to come back to as we turn our attention to the scripture readings for this morning, particularly this one from Acts. Here, the person who will later be known as the Apostle Paul is still known by his Hebrew name of Saul, and Saul is a zealot. Saul is passionately anti-Jesus, anti-Christian. In the first couple of verses from our reading today from Acts, it reminds us that Saul was not sent to Damascus to round up those who belong to the way. That, by the way, is the earliest name for the church. Saul was self-directed. Saul, under his own initiative, sought out the high priest in Jerusalem so that he might have permission to go to Damascus and hunt these people down. There's a strange irony in that by itself, because where we meet him here, Saul is seeking to go out into the world to quell the spreading of the gospel. He's sort of an anti-apostle at this point, someone who's intent on moving out into the world with almost missionary zeal, not to spread the word, but to keep it from spreading. How ironic that this Saul would become the Paul known to us as the Apostle of the Gentiles. In any case, though, what's extremely telling here is what these short two verses reveal about Saul's heart at this point in time. There's a fire on the inside of this man, and maybe it's more like an inferno. Saul is bubbling over with hatred and murderous design. He wants to round all of these Christians up and put them to death, and he's willing to travel. But on the road to Damascus, Saul has an experience of the risen Christ, and it stops him in his tracks. Here in chapter 9, it describes it as a flash of light and the voice of Christ with one very basic question for Saul that never, ever gets answered. Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And there's never an answer to that question, why? This story appears two more times in the book of Acts. Here in chapter 9, it's narrated as an historical event for us. Later in chapter 22, and then again in chapter 26, Paul relates it again himself as part of his own testimony. His witness, his story of encounter with the risen one. One day, Saul sees his world through a certain set of eyes, and then he sees the risen one, Jesus, and goes blind for 3 days. 3 days blind, like 3 days in the tomb before Easter. And then those scales fall from his eyes. He's baptized, and he's got new eyes and a new heart to see with. 3 days. That is Paul's incubation time. That's the time it took for him to go blind as Saul with a heart breathing fire and to come to new life with new eyes as one who has seen the risen one. I wonder what was happening in his heart and in his mind in those 3 days. I wonder how that very last vision of radiance impressed itself onto his mind's eye. I wonder how that unanswered question of Jesus's weighed down on him during those 3 days. Why do you persecute me? Because at the end of those 3 days, this is a new person with a story to tell. He's become, in notable ways, the very opposite of what he once was. And all because he's had this time to sit with what he's seen. And not long hence from here, this thing that blinded him is going to become his most potent tool for ministry. Hey, look, people, I was once Saul, but now I'm no longer that guy anymore. Let me tell you what happened. The road to Damascus becomes the site where Paul had seen him, and it becomes his witness, and his life was now the testimony to the fact that Christ is showing up in people's lives today. Today. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, older translations have Paul say it this way: if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Newer translations have it better. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything has changed, in other words. It's a whole new world. We've been given whole new eyes to see with. Let the scales fall down. Say goodbye to Saul. I love in our gospel reading for this morning just the pure joy and the movement of Peter. It says that when Peter heard it was Jesus on the shore, he put on clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. Jumped on in. Yeah. Put on those clothes. Jump into the sea. Before there's a story to share or a mission to carry out, first and foremost, there's a heart that's been awakened in childlike joy. There are eyes just learning to see again. There are hearts unlocked into freedom by questions that shatter the very foundations of that old life. It's time to come back to basics and to rediscover the joy and surprise of that encounter with the risen Christ. To remember the wonder and the excitement of the times when we've seen His light, experienced His presence, when we were gifted a living, breathing testimony, not just that Christ is alive, but that I have encountered Him in this particular way. I want to invite you through this season of Easter, from today through to Pentecost, to open your heart with me on this Easter exploration. Where are the places and the times where you have known the real and abiding presence of God? When has His nearness in your life inspired you with unexpected joy and life? Where has it opened your eyes to a whole new creation around you and whole new possibilities for living this life? Where has it put a foundation under your feet and changed despair into hope? If you've encountered the risen Christ in your life, you've been given a gift to build a whole life around You've been given a story to tell that can shatter the walls of hardened hearts and offer them new pathways to walk into. Easter is a time to allow experience to be transformed into testimony, to grow disciples into apostles and send them out with joyful news to tell. Would you allow this Easter's time to be incubation time so that we can emerge from this season as a church that's ready to carry the wonderful news of His risen life out into our world? And all of God's people said, Amen.